بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. Tonight's topic is a nice one. It's about pathways to paradise. It's from a book called Riyad al-Salihin by Imam al-Nawawi in a chapter called Numerous Ways to Good Deeds. So let us inshallah jump into this topic. I was asked by someone, there are things that I'm not so good at, and there are other things I'm better at, and I've got some things that I've shortcomings in, and other things I can do better. Surely is there only one way to Jannah? And the answer is Alhamdulillah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned so many numerous ways for a person to go to paradise and be saved from the fire. Rasul Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us so many ways, and inshallah tonight we'll enumerate some of them and teach you what it means inshallah ta'ala to give us hope and to know who Allah is and to know how generous He is and to assume well of your Lord and to not let the shaitan make you pessimistic and to get rid of any of those mental intrusions that tell you you're not good enough. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Kareem and Rahim. And Alhamdulillah, whoever assumes them even well, will get closer to him inshaAllah. I begin with about four verses of the Qur'an as an introduction to this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ بِسْمِ اللَّهِ الرَّحْمَنِ الرَّحِيمِ وَمَا تَفْعَلُوا مِنْ خَيْرٍ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ بِهِ عَلِيمٍ. And whatever good that you do, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all knowing of it. Allah also says, وَمَا تَفْعَلُوا مِنْ خَيْرٍ يَعْلَمُهُ اللَّهُ. Any little tiny thing of a good deed that you do, Allah knows it for sure. In another verse, Allah says, فَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ خَيْرًا يَرَهُ. Any small ant's worth of a good deed someone does, Allah knows it and sees it. And finally, Allah says, مَنْ عَمِلَ صَالِحًا فَلِنَفْسِهِ. Whoever does good deeds, the benefit is for himself. The benefit is for himself. Therefore, nothing harms Allah or benefits Allah in any way. And I always say a good example to think about it is your parents who love you and love their children. They don't want anything in return. Good parents who truly have unconditional love for their children, from the moment they're born, their future, they're already envisioning it. And they're looking forward to you growing up and being happy and healthy. And the question we ask is why? What do parents get out of it? They don't get money out of it. They don't get fame out of it. They're aging. So a good parent and a loving parent doesn't want anything in return. The only reward they want is that their child is righteous, grows up well and healthy, makes dua for them after they pass away. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us the example of parents, and He always puts their name with His name in the Quran. They're the only people Allah mentions alongside His name. وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّاهُ وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. Your Lord has decreed that you worship none other but Him and to be dutiful to your parents. Because your creation came from Allah first and then through them. And so there is gratitude that we give them, and for them there is unconditional love, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He doesn't want anything in return except, believe it or not, just for your own good. Just for your own good. We begin with the first hadith relating to this that I want to share with you. And the hadith explains the meaning of the word iman. So the question is, what is iman? What is faith in the Islamic terms? I think still some people will misinterpret it or give a different answer to what it really is. Some people will say it's what you believe in, but that's not the meaning of iman, of faith. The Prophet ﷺ said, Iman is 70 something. Bid'un wa sab'un. 70 something. He didn't say a number, he just said somewhere between 70 and 79 in the Arabic language. Or, he said, or 60 something. So he's telling us somewhere in the range. Iman is 70 something or about 60 something categories and channels, categories. The best of all of its categories is the word La ilaha illallah, saying and believing truly and acting upon there is no God worthy of worship except Allah. Complete monotheism in belief, words, and actions to monotheism. Then he said, and the least of all its categories is to remove a harmful object off the road. And then he said, and the balance of it all, the middle, is called haya, which means modesty and respect, self-respect. Haya. It's kind of a shyness or a shyness, but in a good way, in a modesty way. You know, we have this natural shyness that we don't go out naked. We don't show our awra. This is part of modesty and shame. Haya. When we're alone, we know Allah is watching us and He told us there are angels around us. We get a bit shy. How can we do bad things while Allah is watching me? When we are alone with our spouses, we fear Allah. Allah is watching us. We feel shame. When we are doing business and we are able to cheat or to rip off someone and they won't know about it, but we have shame. It's called haya. All these examples are called haya, and it is the middle, the balance of all the 70-something branches or categories of iman. Without haya, without modesty and shame, you will not have monotheism properly, and you will not have good acts properly. And if, for example, a person with modesty and self-respect and watchfulness, or has integrity, sees something that harms people off the road and can move it, but doesn't care, probably even adds more harm for the people because they have no shame. A person may reject something that Allah says and not care that Allah is the one who said it, and just choose their own version. They'll say, I think it's like this, so I won't accept it. He has no shame, or she has no shame. You think, who is Allah? This is no shame. This is disbelief, actually. So shame and modesty is the balance of all your deen. Now here in this hadith, the Prophet, peace be upon him, did not enumerate all the branches, didn't name them. There's no need. But what it means is that it's the entire religion of Islam. And iman therefore means the action of the heart, the action of the tongue, and the action of the limbs. That is all called what? Iman. The hadith is muttafaq alayh in Bukhari and Muslim. So now you understand, if you or I do any good act, no matter how big or small, helping someone, counseling someone, lending someone, giving someone, donating to someone, guiding someone, saying, greeting someone, anything, a smile. All these acts are called in Islam, they're called iman, faith, on one condition. The condition is, listen to what the Prophet ﷺ said, the highest of its branches is La ilaha illallah. There is no God worthy worship except Allah. Therefore, everything under that word, we do it because of our faith and belief in Allah. A person may say, well, hold on a minute. Islam is not a condition for a person to have good character. You can have good character without being a Muslim. That is true. But the meaning of this is two. Number one, a true believer should have these characteristics. Otherwise, your belief in Islam is not complete. And secondly, the difference between a Muslim and a non-Muslim having good character is that the Muslim does their good character for worldly reasons and for the rewards, love, and closeness to Allah, their Creator. Big difference. One does it for the sake of love and goodness, the other one does it for the sake of Allah first, and then for the sake of love and goodness. For example, you might love your mother tremendously, and so you serve her and help her, only because she's your mother. That's a virtuous thing. But you can add double and say, I help my mother because I love her, and at the same time, to please my Creator Allah. When you want to please your Creator Allah, then you will do good things even against your own feelings. And you will stay away from bad things even against your own feelings. Because there is a huge reason why you should keep going on and doing good deeds. If the person who you do good deeds to does not repay you, or people harm you or hurt you with words, still a believing Muslim knows, well, at least my reward is not lost with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Please don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying place your cheek on the ground for people to step on it. I'm not telling you turn the other cheek and let people ridicule you. This is disrespect to yourself. But what it means is that where any opportunity for you to establish peace, to avoid trouble, to do good deeds, to help someone change from bad to good, to avoid someone's harm for the sake of Allah, is the character of the believer. But if somebody attacks you, somebody denigrates you, somebody tries to take your right, a Muslim must be courageous and defend their right if they cannot avoid it in any other way. So both of them are iman. And that is called self-respect as well. My dear brothers and sisters, moving on now. Now that you understood the word iman means the actions of the heart, the tongue, and the limbs, do you remember this beautiful hadith I mentioned to you that is in Sahih Muslim called Shafa'atul Mu'mineen, the intercession of the believers to one another on the Day of Judgment? Do you remember that hadith? Anyone remember when I mentioned it here in past classes? The intercession of believers to one another on the Day of Judgment. Yes? No? Hands up if you have. Shafa'atul Mu'mineen. Khalas, I might as well pack my bags and leave here. I'm just coming to another. Nobody remembers that. I think I've said it about 6 times. No? Hasbunallah. Yeah, that's all right. We'll repeat it. Follow me on YouTube. So everyone's going to TikTok and Instagram. You're not going to get much there. People cut off 1 minute of my talks and they take it out of context. And I'm looking, I'm going, why this part? Go to the original source. In YouTube, you'll see the whole context. And I think, inshallah, you'll learn a bit more. Akhi, don't follow my YouTube. Follow someone else's YouTube. But the point is, get the whole, learn more, inshallah. Forgive me, brothers and sisters, I don't mean to ridicule anybody. I'm just joking with you. But seriously, follow the YouTube back to these lessons and teach others and give me some rewards and you earn rewards. All right. So the hadith about Shafa'atul Mu'mineen, the intercession of the believers to one another, I'll just say in summary, that on the Day of Judgment, from the mercy and generosity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His forgiveness, is that not only does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save people with His mercy, He gives the angels an opportunity to also have a say in who wants to be saved by the will of Allah, and He gives the prophets and messengers also a say in who they want to be forgiven by the will of Allah. And then He gave the believers as well, inshallah, may Allah make us one of them, to also intercede for people, certain people, with His will. And the shafa'a, this intercession, means that when people cross the sirat, you know, in the Quran it says sirat, the bridge that will be bestowed, wa in minkum illa waridha, every single one of you will cross it. Once they make it to the other side, they're going to paradise. And then the believers will turn around and remember the people, the friends, the believing friends they used to have in this world. They did not make it across. They fell into the fire. And then they say, my Lord, our Lord, we remember so and so and so and so. They used to do this, they used to do that. They try to mention all the good deeds which they can remember so that they can get a response from Allah to say, go. So Allah then says to them, go and take out everyone you know. And you see some of them, they haven't gone deep into the fire. Them, and Allah saves them after they've been punished a little bit. And then there are those who go deep into the fire. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, is there anyone else? And they say, Ya Rab, we can't see them. He says, they've probably gone. The hadith doesn't say that they haven't gone deep, but that's what it means. He says, go and take out anybody with the angels, anybody who has a coin's worth of iman. They go and they take him out. Then he says, go back and take out whoever's got half a coin's worth of iman. Now, we're a bit confused. What do you mean a coin's worth of iman, half a coin of iman? What does it mean? Like you half believe in God and half you don't? Half believe in the Quran, half don't? No, it doesn't mean that. You cannot believe in half. Even one ayah you cannot say, I don't believe in. Some of you are saying God is, astaghfirullah, that this is a lie. Iman, from this hadith, now you understand, it is any tiny good deed that you've ever done while you are on Tawheed, on La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. That means you died while not making partners with Allah or disbelieving in Him, His book, and His messengers. You all then have a chance of intercession. And he says, can you remember a tiny half a coin's worth of a good deed? Meaning, let's say you saw them one day walking from school and you saw your mate, your friend. He saw some glass on the pathway. And he says, SubhanAllah, someone might trip on this. I heard that I get rewarded from Allah. I'm just going to move it here for goodness and for the sake of Allah. Yeah, and for the sake of Allah, number one. And also, because you're a good Muslim, you move it off the road. Let's say that's the only good deed this friend of yours has ever done in his life. Nothing else. So long as he has died on true belief, Allah may allow you, if you are saved, to go and save that friend if you can remember one tiny good deed is done. And that is why, brothers and sisters, and obviously the rest of the hadith is that Allah then takes out a whole lot out of hellfire, out of His mercy. The meaning of this is always have good believing friends, brothers and sisters, because those believing friends are the only ones, according to our Islamic belief, will be the ones on the Day of Judgment who will remember you, and they will vouch for you by the will of Allah to save you with His permission. Always have believing friends. Even if you have friends that are not so good or so believing, have righteous believing friends. They will remember you, bi-idhnillah, by the will of Allah. Anyway, I've just spoken about a Muslim belief here, of course. Non-Muslims don't know all about this until they learn about Islam. We move now. A pathway to paradise are so many, the pathways. A pathway to paradise is moving a branch of a tree that is thorny or in the way of people off the road. Why did I mention this? Because there's a hadith about it. The Prophet, peace be upon him, said, I saw in paradise, meaning that Allah let him see, in paradise, a man who is enjoying himself in paradise. He's enjoying himself and doesn't think about anyone else. He's enjoying himself and having a party because of a branch of a tree. Because of one tree branch. He took it off the road because it was harmful to others. In another hadith, it was harmful to the Muslims. Of course, there are other hadiths which say Muslim or anybody. And there are other hadiths which say even the animals, even the insects. You're probably walking and you see a colony of ants. And you could have stepped on it, but instead you avoided it for the sake of Allah, because they are creatures of Allah. Those ants could make dua for you, supplicate for you, or because of them you enter paradise. The best acts of goodness. One man said, his name is Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu, he says, Ya Rasulallah, Abu Dharr Jundub bin Junada. He said, Ya Rasulallah, O Messenger of Allah, which are the best acts to do? He said, true belief and faith in Allah is the best act. Is that an act of the limbs or the tongue or the heart? What do you think? To have correct and proper belief in Allah. Is that the act of the heart, the act of the limbs, or the act of the tongue? All of them, ahsant. It's all of them. But where does it start? In the heart, then the tongue. That's why when a person wants to become a Muslim, they say, I believe. But in order to prove their belief, there is a sign. What do? They have to say, I bear witness that there is only one God worthy of worship. Muhammad, peace be upon him, is his final prophet and messenger. Now you're a believer. Now the actions then complete it. So the Prophet, peace be upon him, said, Iman billah, belief and faith in Allah truly, is the highest best deed. Wal jihadu fi sabili, and to strive and battle in his path. Striving and battling, jihad, means to ward off evil and bad and injustice with a goal to replace it with justice, goodness, and piety. So you don't misunderstand the word. Obviously, Muslims, we know what the word jihad means. It doesn't mean that every non-Muslim you see, we have to fight them. It doesn't mean that we go to a non-Muslim country and we declare jihad on them. This is wrong. If a country you live in, alhamdulillah, gives you the right, freedom to practice your deen, and to build your mosques, and to do all that, and nobody stands in your way, then there's no need to do anything. In fact, don't migrate there if it's not good. But jihad is when there is a situation like the olden times, where there was no laws to protect anybody, there was no treaty, and everybody just attacked everyone else. So Allah said, Muslims, fight to protect yourselves and your religion, because you are vulnerable, so you have to stand together. But anyway, striving is many levels. It goes all the way from physical down to the belief. So a person sometimes does jihad against their own desires. They do jihad against their own ideology and thoughts and whispers. They do jihad against their own laziness, for example. They go to work and they want to provide for their elderly parents or their children or their spouse or their family. It is a type of jihad as well. Everything that involves striving against irritation, against negativity, in order to establish goodness, is a level and a form of jihad and mujahada, striving and struggling for good. Then he said, what's after that, Ya Rasulullah? He said, if you know of any slave that is still under its master, and you have the ability to buy them and free them, then that comes third. So the first one is establishing Allah's belief. Second one is protection of the community. And third, to free people who are in bondage, in under slavery. And then he said, and the best ones to free are the ones that people sell them for a big price. Now, this doesn't matter to us right now. I'm just showing you the generosity of Islam. In those days, there used to be different types of slaves. Those who were very expensive and those who were cheap. And Islam encouraged to free slaves in many different forms and ways. It could not abolish slavery completely yet. Why? Because they would have become public property according to the universal law. It's not like today. So you have to look in context. Islam is the only deen that came which brought such measures that gave slaves rights that no one ever knew before, to the point where you would see a master and slave and you won't tell the difference. Can't tell the difference. And they were encouraged to marry them if they can. And if they gave birth, they encouraged them to free them. And if they could get a skill, they were encouraged to free them and he could buy himself out. And we were encouraged that if we do major sins, we can go and buy and free a slave to get our sins to go away, and so on and so on. So Islam came to systematically abolish all of this as much as it can. So the Prophet ﷺ said, freeing slaves, they also are among the best deeds. He said, then what, Ya Rasulullah? He said, then if you can't do any of that, help to upskill someone with a skill. You might know an organization or a mosque that has a project that is offering courses, for example, training, workshops, education, a school maybe, and you are able to financially help and support them in some way to educate people in the community. The Prophet ﷺ said, then after that comes the deed of upskilling someone else, helping someone else build knowledge so that they can look after themselves. That is the fourth category the Prophet ﷺ said. He said, what if I can't afford that, O Messenger of Allah? He said, do something good. Do something good with your own skill. So you have a skill yourself. Maybe you do a trade. Maybe you've got a business. Maybe you have some resources. But you can't afford to upskill someone else. So then use your own resources and skills to give, donate a bit of your time and skill for some projects or for someone else. For example, some people might be called to a home. You go to a brother or sister's home who've got some problems in their tiles or their heater or their conditioner, or let's say your work is something else. You're a conveyancer, or you're a builder, or you're an engineer, or you're a doctor, whatever you are. This is all a skill and knowledge. And you offer some of that of free service, or you give extra to help them, bonuses, out of goodwill, all this Rasulullah ﷺ said, then do that. He said, what if I don't have a skill to give? He said, then if you can't find any good deed to do, keep your harm away from people. Just don't harm anyone. Is there anything more than that? If you can't do any good at all, then avoid harming anyone with your words, with your actions, with your money, with anything. He said, then that, just avoid harming people. Amazing. And then he said, if you do that, it'll be a sadaqah, an act of charity or an act of goodness from you for yourself. The hadith is muttafaq alayh, agreed upon, Bukhari and Muslim. There are more levels. Another man said, ya Rasulallah, talk to me, tell me. And he said, teach me something. He said, every Muslim must give sadaqah. Every Muslim must give charity. What does charity mean here? It's got two meanings. Who can tell me? Sadaqah in Islamic terminology has two meanings. Sadaqah means the obvious one. What is it? Money or property. Give from your money, charity, donations. And what's the other meaning of sadaqah? Okay, example is time. But it's not just time. Sadaqah means anything that you have to give. For example, if I greeted my brother over here, assalamu alaikum, that's from my goodness. I used my tongue, I used my mouth, I used my goodness to greet him. Then he greets me, we both did sadaqah. I saw a man, let's say I see this young man here, he doesn't look very happy. I came and say a couple of words and I made him smile. That's a sadaqah. Someone is in pain, I come up to them and I help them across the road, or I help them to sit down, that's a sadaqah. Do you understand now? All of these are called acts of goodness. There's a reason why I say this, we're going to come back. So he said, O Messenger of Allah, what is it? He said, every Muslim must give sadaqah every day. And then a man said, O Messenger of Allah, what if he doesn't have a charity to give? Yani, the man thought that it's only money. So then he said, يَعْمَلُ بِيَدَيْهِ, let him do something with his hands and benefit himself. Benefit himself is an act of charity. Yes, you can also be charitable to yourself. This body that you and I have, who does it belong to? Allah. So what are you doing with it? Why is it with you? Did you choose to have this body when you were born? Obviously not. So we as Muslims know, Allah told us, Allah gave it to you. So why is it with you? What are you supposed to do with it? Okay, worship Allah, but also? The reason you worship Allah is for yourself, so that you can establish your identity and your closeness to Him. It's not for Allah. He gave you that body. Part of the reason is it is a trust. A trust. It's an amanah. We are entrusted with our bodies to look after it, to serve it, to feed it, but of course not to be stingy and not to be selfish. So the man said, Ya Rasulullah, what if I can't give to others? He said, then work with your own hands and give yourself. Meaning, don't become a beggar. Don't go and be a burden on others to give you. Go out of your way. Don't be lazy. Do something to feed yourself. Why is that an act of charity? Number one, you are looking after the body Allah gave you. And number two, you are avoiding burdening others. You are not a burden on the community. That in itself is an act of charity for yourself. What do you get rewarded for? What do you need more than that, brothers? That's amazing. Do you remember when I spoke about Umar ibn al-Khattab? He entered the masjid and he saw a young man sitting there praying, reading Quran, making zikr. Do you remember that? Hands up if you remember that. 1, 2, 3, 4. Good. The rest of you, go on my YouTube. Now, he entered and he saw this young man praying, doing dhikr, Quran. And he said, he asked, who feeds this young man? Who looks after this young man? He's sitting here all day, all night in the mosque. To us, we think, whoa, he's a great Muslim man. I wish I could do that. But Umar al-Khattab saw it differently. He said, who looks after him? Surely he has to eat. Surely he has to clothe himself, shelter himself. He said, Wallah, his older brother, Ya Amir al-Mu'minin. His older brother. He said, his older brother is better than him. His older brother is better than that man sitting in the mosque all day, all night. Then he went up to the young man and nudged him and said, get up, go and work and don't be a burden on others. Islam did not create sickness. Amazing. Rasulullah then said, what if I can't work to support myself? He said, then help someone else who needs guidance. Yani, for example, he said, let's say you're in a town and somebody's asking for directions and you know the directions, give them directions. Somebody needs water, direct them to water. Anything of helping others. Then he said, what if I can't even find someone like that? He said again to him, then withhold harming anybody. Then it is a sadaqah, a charity. Now, the next good act is the actual charity. Actual charity. But listen to what the Prophet ﷺ said. He said, there isn't any one of you except that Allah will speak to them on the Day of Judgment. Their Lord will speak to them. There will be no interpreter between you and him, Subhanah, Allah. And then you look to your right, he looks to his right and looks to his left, and all he sees is his deeds, what he did and what he didn't do. Then he looks in front and looks behind him, and all he sees is what he did and what he didn't do. And then he looks beneath him, and all he sees is the fire. Then the Prophet, peace be upon him, said, so fear Allah, meaning prevent yourselves, protect yourselves from the fire, even if all you have is half of a date to give in charity. Date is this big. Half of it, eat half and give another one in charity. You are protecting yourself from the fire. Why is the fire connected to this? It means that we have so many sins upon us, we've done so many shortcomings, and Allah is so generous that He finds for us anything to replace our shortcomings. And because dates are easy to get for the Arabs, here in Australia it's a bit harder. They cost an arm and a leg to get them from the shops, aren't they? But let's say you have a date. But the point is that anything, even a little piece of food, and you give a little bit of it to someone, to your children, to your spouse, to your parents, to your friend, to an animal, it is an act of charity that Allah uses to expiate and wash off your sins out of His generosity. And then he said, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, if you cannot even find half of a date or half of a piece of food, فَبِكَلِمَةٍ طَيِّبَةٍ, then just say a nice word. Just say a good, nice word. Don't go and misunderstand the nice word. Some people misinterpret the word nice word. A guy might go up to a girl and says, I'm going to go and give her a nice word. That's not a nice word, it's flirting. Your eyes are beautiful. No, no. You say that to your wife. Say that to your daughters. So, طيبة, the word كلمة طيبة, a good word, means a pure, clean word. Say a pure, clean word to someone. Yeah, somebody, you have an employee, praise them for something, encourage them. A student, if you're a teacher, tell them something else. Your child, give them something that encourages them, makes them feel good about themselves. Any nice word to your wife, to your husband. My brothers and sisters, moving on, the Prophet, peace be upon him, also said in another amazing, that former hadith I gave was in Bukhari. Then he said in another hadith in Bukhari, there are 40 habits of good deeds. 40 habits of good deeds. So there are about 40 deeds that people can turn them into habits in their life, and it'll be an ongoing charity forever until they die. But the Prophet ﷺ didn't count them one by one, he left it up to us. The companion Al-Hasan, Rasulullah's grandson, Al-Hasan radiallahu anhu, he says, we tried to count them and we got up to 15. And he said, we got up to 15 of the small deeds, like when someone sneezes, we say to him, Yarhamuk Allah, may Allah have mercy on you. Or replying a greeting. If you have these as a habit, you know Muslims how they are. Someone sneezes in the workplace. Imagine there's 50 Muslims, right? 50 different, Alhamdulillah, 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 everywhere. Sometimes I'm watching, let's say I'm watching someone on TV about to eat. I don't know why I find myself saying, Bismillah. Do you do that? See someone about to eat and you get Bismillah. And if you get it, sometimes they're not even Muslim. You say, Bismillah. Now, brothers and sisters, the point of the matter is, good deeds are everywhere. And a Muslim should get this as a habit. Another beautiful thing is called the hadith of the 360 joints in your body. Have you heard of the hadith of the 360 joints in your body? It goes like this. The Prophet, peace be upon him, said, when any one of you wakes up in the morning, which means you've started a new day, you have another chance. Any of you wakes up in the morning, you're alive. Then now it is a duty upon you, he says, to give an act of charity on behalf of every single joint in your body, and they are 360. Who's going to give 360 acts of charity, man? That's a lot, isn't it? 360 every day? So the narrator of this hadith says, I felt as if the companions felt burdened by this. He said, how are we going to do 360 acts of charity? So they said, ya Rasulullah, how are we going to do that? And then he smiled and said, every tasbih, every one word of subhanallah is an act of charity. Every, subhanallah means how perfect is Allah, glory be to Allah, transcendent is Allah. Every tahmeed, every gratitude, alhamdulillah, gratitude to Allah, is a sadaqah, a charity. Kullu tahleela, every word, la ilaha illallah, there is no Lord worthy of worship except Allah, is an act of charity. Kullu takbeera, every word, Allahu Akbar, Allah is greater than anything, is an act of charity. Advising something good, advising someone good, or initiating good, amr bil ma'roof, is an act of charity. Preventing something bad is an act of charity. And all of this can be taken care of with two rak'ahs you pray, called the two rak'ahs of duha. What is the duha? If you want to give 360 acts of charity in about 3 minutes or 4 minutes, and you don't have time to do all the other stuff, just pray two rak'ahs called the rak'ahs of duha. The Salat al-Duha. When is Duha? Duha means dawn. It means it starts from about 10 to 15 minutes after sunrise, all the way till about 10 minutes or 15 minutes approximately before Dhuhr, before midday. All that time is called Salat al-Duha. If you make wudu and pray two rak'ahs, It is a charity on behalf of 360 joints in your body. I can feel that when I said joints, a lot of you are sitting there and now feeling the pain in your joints. May Allah reward you. You have rewards for that. If you want, you can stand up and stretch a little bit. You want to stretch? Stretch. No? No passion? No energy? Tayyib. My brothers and sisters, we move on, inshallah. I was counting today. I said to my mother, I said, you know, 360, it's very easy to do. She prays the duha, right, every day. And sometimes I miss it. She goes, where's your duha? I said, I was just counting and thinking, if I split it up, my tasbih and tahmid and takbir, after every salah, I got 500, man, 500 in the bag. 500 acts of charity. Because if you, what do you do after each salah? You say, subhanallah, how many times? 33 times. How many, alhamdulillah? 33 times. How many, Allahu Akbar? 33 times. And you end it with one more, Allahu Akbar, or with La ilaha illallah. So how many acts of charity are they? 100. 5 daily prayers, 100 times, how many? 500. That takes care of your 360. We were once in one of the Ramadan i'tikaf, so I was with a friend of mine, and then we got used to the duha. Now I heard the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the best time for the duha is later. Like when it's closer to dhuhr, when it's hotter. And then he comes up to me early and says, have you given your 360 acts of charity? I go, what? 360? What? You gave 300? I forgot all about duha. I go, 360? The sun has even risen. And he said, the duha. I said, you naughty boy. So I went and did the duha, alhamdulillah. So the duha, 360 joints in your body. By the way, this is medically correct. It's accurate. The adult joints are a little bit less than that because some of the bones, they fuse over time. They're about 350. But at birth, they are approximately 360 joints that fuse a little bit later on. So the Arabic word for joint is sulama. And the word sulama means free, healthy, and at peace. So when I have joints in my hands that I can move, and my jaws that I can move, and my body that I can move, they alhamdulillah sound healthy. Don't I owe gratitude to anyone for this? My gratitude is to Allah, my creator. But if I had problems in my joints and I can't move them, like I've got, God forbid, osteoarthritis or something, and I can't move it. Instead of acting with it as a charity, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives me rewards for my pain and my patience, the other way around, without doing anything. And that is why the Prophet ﷺ also said that Allah says, there is nothing that I would give to a servant of mine who I take his eyesight from, blind person, except for paradise straight away. Because the biggest blessing we have is sight. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes it away, paradise for that person. I mean, imagine Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is always there, looking, watching, counting. He's there with us. And we will find out, inshallah, everything on the Day of Judgment, bi'idhni ta'ala. Finally, brothers, a few more points. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then continues, the hadith is in Muslim and Bukhari. He says also, helping to settle a dispute between two people. Even if you don't make them friends, the hadith doesn't say reconcile, make them friends. No. It says help them settle a dispute. Just so that things can reside and everyone goes away. That is an act of charity. Helping someone mount his ride or baggage. Meaning, anything. They're putting a grocery in the car, you know a friend, you go and help them out. Someone's moving houses, you help them out. So, you see a parent, a friend, anybody, a neighbor trying to put something into their car, and you see somebody with their car conked out, you go and help them jump the leaves and to try and start the car. This is for older cars now. Everyone, it's generation, man. You guys have got it easy. And you should see when we had our cars. Do you remember those days? Mufflers on the floor, the engine always conked out. Ever seen me conked out on the road? We had it tough, us. Generation what? Over 40s. What do we call us? Generation Z. Are we Gen Z?
Alpha.
Huh?
Alpha.
Alpha? Yeah. We are the alpha, buddy. Don't mess with the 40-year-old. Now, brothers and sisters, let's move on. May Allah support you and protect you, young brothers and sisters. Helping someone in any way. And then he said a good word. And then he said, every step to the mosque. Or in another hadith, every step to a prayer. Whether you're praying by yourself or you're going to the mosque. Of course, going to the mosque is better. For men and for women, it's equal. Alone or through the mosque. Of course, praying at home for the woman is preferred, but the rewards are equal, inshallah, if she, you know, intends that. Every step is a sadaqah. Now, don't take that literally. It's not like somebody might live about 2 kilometers away from the mosque. They may have a car or a bike and they have an easy way of getting there, but they say Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said step. So I'm going to step it. No. The meaning of it is supported by another hadith where he says to a man who was living far away, he says, Ya Rasulallah, yani, I want to move closer. And he said, you will have rewards for every step, so stay where you are. He said, get a donkey and ride on it. Because in those days, donkeys were the easier and cheaper way. So get a donkey. And this, and the scholars said, it means whether you come to the masjid with your car, whether you go somewhere to pray, whether you go on your bike or anything. These are all considered sadaqah. And he said, moving an obstacle or a harm off the road or pathway. Finally, what if I told you that you even get sadaqah and charity? And remember, what does charity mean? We said 2 meanings. What were they? Giving and doing an act of good deed, right? What if I told you there is also sadaqah and good deed in intimacy and love between husband and wife? The Prophet, peace be upon him, he said, some people came to Prophet and said, Ya Rasulallah, there are wealthy people who've got lots of money. We don't have much money. And they're all giving in charity and they're looking after orphans and are putting it into projects and they're helping others. Oh, they took all the rewards from us. We can't afford it. They took all the rewards. We don't have money. We want to do what they do, Ya Rasulallah. Which gives you the companions. When they had money, they used it in the path of Allah. He says, they're using the path of Allah. We wish we had even a dinar, just one little coin to give it. We don't have. Is there anything else? Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi said, yes. Say Subhanallah, say Alhamdulillah, say La ilaha illallah, say Allahu Akbar, say, you know, tell someone, give them ideas of something good, try and prevent some harm if you see it, someone bullying someone, go defend them or something like that. All of this will be your charity. So it's not just in money. And then he said to them something else. He said, وَفِي بُضْعِ أَحَدِكُمْ صَدَقًا. And even in your, I'll just use the word intimacy, you know what I mean, between you and your wife is an act of charity. Remember what I said, charity, right? 2 meanings. That's why I wanted you to understand it. The husband and wife being intimate is a highly encouraged thing in Islam. And be creative about it, because it plays a big role in the love, the connection, the family, being on the same page, helping one another, loving one another, getting closer to one another. Has a huge effect. So don't ever ignore that. And he said, that is an act of goodness as well, which Allah rewards you for. Then the Sahabas, they said, Ya Rasulallah. They're a bit embarrassed. They said, serving our desires? We're enjoying ourselves. We get sadaqah. We get charity. We get good deeds for that. He said, imagine if you did the opposite. And you used that desire in the haram way, in the forbidden way. Wouldn't you get sinned for that? Or punished? They said, yes, we would. He said, the fact that you stopped yourself from forbidden and you used your desire to fulfill it in the halal, you get rewarded. That's it. So you see, brothers and sisters, good deeds don't all have to have lots of effort. In fact, many of them, you enjoy it. And when you start thinking what we talked about today, brothers and sisters, suddenly, I don't know about you, but for me and many other people I spoke about, if you can get into that mindset and think in this way, how good deeds, what good deeds mean, then number one, you become selfless a little bit. At the same time, you respect yourself, but now they don't burden you much anymore. It's not heavy on you anymore, because we look at the outcome, we look at the rewards of it, we look at the benefit of it now. Nothing's ever lost. The person who doesn't do anything is lost. One friend of mine was joking with me. He says, brother, what's this, man? I go, what? He goes, everything's haram. What do you mean haram? He goes, haram this, haram that, haram can't do this, can't do that. That's all I hear. He goes, I might as well just sit at home and do nothing. I said, that's haram too. Hello, we're joking with each other. I said, not everything's haram, Habibi. Come on. There's good deeds everywhere, you can do it. A man was traveling and he got thirsty. He went down and drank some water from a well. The hadith is in Bukhari. He got up and he saw a dog panting, thirsty. He said, Ya Allah, this dog is thirsty like I was. He's feeling the same pain of the quench of thirst that I felt. His mercy kicked in and he filled his shoe with water and gave the dog water. I know there's another hadith about a woman, so they're probably two different hadiths, or maybe the narrator got them wrong, man or woman from the children of Israel. The point is, in this hadith, the man came and gave him, and the dog asked Allah to forgive him, and Allah forgave that man, and because of it, he entered paradise. They said, Ya Rasulallah, we get rewarded even for animals? Like you see a stray dog or a stray cat, you know, and you look after it, or you care for it, or you give it some food, or you take it to a vet, or you look after it and then send it off to someone to look after it, or something like that. That is an act of charity. They said, Ya Rasulallah, even with animals we get charity. He says, yes, every creature, as a matter of fact, is every creature that breathes and has blood that flows through its vein, breathes or has blood flowing through its veins. You have an act of charity. And if you planted a tree in the desert with the intention of pleasing Allah, then the scorpions and the snakes and all these creatures that harm humans, they come and they use the shade of this tree or whatever it is, you get charity for it. SubhanAllah. Do you see, my brothers and sisters, how Islam has come to encourage us to work and use this time in our life to enter paradise? One last question. You might be asking, how is it that man feeds a dog, or that man who moves a branch, just because of that enters paradise? So that means I don't have to pray, I don't have to fast, I don't have to just believe in Allah and go feed a dog. I'm in paradise. That's it. It's done. Easy. Cheat code. No, not like that. There is a condition. If you remember the first hadith I mentioned, Iman is many branches, 70-something branches. The first and the highest is La ilaha illallah. The conditions of La ilaha illallah is to also obey Allah with the compulsory things. Therefore, saying La ilaha illallah means you must do the compulsory things, and they are the five pillars of Islam. And other compulsory things. You practice them. Then, if you have sins that accumulate, so long as they're not major sins, even major sins, you repent, and then you continue to do these little good deeds, what happens is one of three things. Number one, either Allah forgives all your past sins because of this one or two good deeds. That's up to Allah. Number two, Allah may delay your entry into paradise, but because of them, you will enter eventually. Do you understand? And remember what I mentioned, believers intercede for others. Let's say those who didn't do their compulsory acts, you know, and they died with it, but they were true believers and they never made shirk, and they never made partners with Allah. They end up in hellfire or they end up punished. Remember what we said? Allah says, if you can remember one half a coins of good deed they've done. And so they take him out, and eventually what do? They enter paradise. So these are the four different meanings when we say someone did a good deed and because of the good deed they entered paradise. It doesn't mean directly, could have been, or it means that it is the cause for them eventually. Everybody understand that part? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you, bless you, my dear brothers and sisters. May Allah lift your ranks. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to lift the pain and the destitution of our brothers and sisters in Gaza. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless them, protect them in Palestine, the orphans, the widows, those who were martyred, and their children at the doors of paradise for them. May Allah protect and make it easy for our brothers and sisters in Bangladesh who are suffering from the injustice. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help and bless our brothers and sisters everywhere around the world and anyone else who is going through injustice, pain and struggle. Ameen. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين والحمد لله رب العالمين